You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow with Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. I'm looking at the S&P, and the S&P is pretty flat. I'm looking at the JSC, and the JSC is, it's okay. It has an element of solidity about it. But let's start from this morning and start with Japan and then move on from there if we can.
Evening, Lindsay. It was a bit of a strange central bank day today for as far as most of the news flows. So we kicked off with the BOJ, the Bank of Japan, this morning. No real surprises, keeping rates at zero or negative one, if you want to be exact, negative 0.1. Some purchases continuing, as you've seen. And then we rolled into ECB, 1:15 our time this afternoon. No surprises there either, keeping rates as they are, asset purchases continuing, spot the theme. And then we had ourselves, our South African Reserve Bank, Mr. Kaniyagu, speaking this afternoon via Zoom. It was quite strange to see him, not see him close up in his, he's always so well dressed. So it was quite funny not to see him in his nice suit. And also unchanged, no change to rates. It was a little bit of a outlier, some people thinking that maybe they small cut, but that was the minority, so that wasn't to be, so it's unchanged. And there was a couple of earnings out. We had jobless numbers out of America this afternoon, which were actually a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then as which has been, boring, new highs all round again this afternoon, but we seem to have rolled over a little bit. So after all the excitement of yesterday and the pomp and ceremony of the inauguration and all sorts happening today, I don't know, we seem to have finished on a bit of the flat line today, Lindsay. Here's my summary, my brief summary.
Very good. No, it's a very good summary as well. But yesterday was quite exciting, wasn't it? I mean, in a strange way. I don't think we quite realised the negative effect that the previous 4 years of Trump and his administration has had on us. We got used to it. We became numbed to it. We've used that word several times in our conversations, Nick, and you've said it and I've said it. We were numbed to the fact that Trump was such a despicable human being and the worst president in history. And so suddenly, I found it a really liberating day, despite the fact I don't live in the United States of America. And in fact, an artist friend of mine in New York said to me, at last, there are some grown-ups in charge. And I thought that was very well put.
I had it playing on in the background. Was obviously sort of in the evening, South Africa time, same for you. And my wife and I were watching, we sort of were having dinner and had it on the background and listening to the American sort of the anthems and the various singing and all the rest of it and the hymns that were being said. And I was same as you. I actually found it quite feel good.
Yes.
Didn't quite bring a tear to my eye. I'm not American.
No.
But nevertheless, I did find it quite moving. And I felt that I had my laptop up and I was watching the S&Ps hit a new all-time high. And I said, there we go. There's the reflection of, there's a trader's view of it. The market likes it. It's a nice thing that's happening. There's a bit of a feel good. It's almost like a new beginnings. And it actually felt quite good. So, it wasn't quite the same not seeing all the crowds like we saw last time, or half the crowd that Trump had. But it was still quite a moving event. So I think it maybe signals, new beginnings anyway. I love the fact that Biden was straight on reversing a lot of his decisions, like the climate accord.
I think he signed 16 or 17 executive orders, didn't he?
It was brilliant.
Immediately.
And good stuff, as I said, the Paris Accord and a few others signing the fact they're coming back in. And I think that's brilliant. For a man of his age, because this is a very taxing job, he wasn't resting. He was straight out the blocks this morning, which was nice.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want people to think that I'd prefer if they didn't think that it's vindictive. I mean, Mr. Trump, for example, ex-President Trump, was anti-Obama and turned all Obama's policies over because he hated Obama because of, there's a couple of reasons which we need not go into. But anyway, I think this is a genuine policy decision from Biden, and he just genuinely wants, not to be nasty to Mr. Trump, but he wants to reverse the policies that he disagreed with.
Exactly. This is not a vindictive move by any means. The agreement, the policies that the previous administration under Mr. Trump did and reversed, and wanted to get out of things like climate accords and bring back coal and all the rest of the stuff and start putting pipelines in the middle of Alaska and all sorts of stuff. I mean, they weren't rational, really, decisions in this current environment that we live in. So there's nothing vindictive. I think it's just any sane, normal person, the first thing they do is put things back on track. I guess that's what we're seeing.
The grown-ups are in charge. Massmart came out this morning with a sales update for the 52 weeks ended 27th of December. I can never get excited about Massmart. I think of Massmart and I think of the suite of companies and brands that it's got. And I think, yeah, there's good stuff and I'll go there and buy it. But I can never get, if I was an investor, I'd never get excited about Massmart.
No, and I think majority of South Africans too. It's not one that really springs to mind, kind of on the watch list. If I've been completely honest, and we all know, and we keep an eye on Woolies and our portfolios and the shop rights, etc. Massmart's almost become a bit of a forgotten share.
Yes.
It had a bit of fun and games a few years ago when Walmart took them out and when the corporate actions. But I mean, since then they've really disappeared off most, I think, investors' radar. We don't own them at Sundam, and we hardly speak about it. And needless to say, I mean, that numbers that came out today were extremely. I thought they were pretty rubbish. But I think the stock is kind of to be expected. It's one of the few retail shares that's still down almost 5% year to date. And yeah, I'm the same as you, Lindsay. I can't get too excited about this particular share. They've got some serious work to do if they want to turn it around. And it's, as I said, it's not on our radar. We don't own it as a house, and I don't know many people who look at it.
After the market closed at 17:06, in fact, Barlow World came out with its news, which we know about anyway, proposed disposal of Barlow World's motor retail division and withdrawal of cautionary announcement. We'll see what the share price does tomorrow morning, because obviously it was after the market closed. Mm. What was the general mood today? I've asked you that, but I'm just looking at the S&P. And it's fractionally weaker. It's almost as though people are saying, now, what next, please? Please do something. We've had Netflix, and it's got to be some results that might boost this thing.
I used the expression to someone today who is a newbie to the markets, and he looked at me completely blankly when I was trying to explain to it's what is the feel of the tape. And like, he looked at me like I'm completely mad, like I was asking about a sort of a vinyl record or something, because I was showing my age. But
I hate
but
these hipsters.
Bloody hipsters. But it, this feel of the market now, it feels heavy. Difficult to explain unless you're sort of a trader, I guess. But it really... It's like, where to from here now, Lindsay? We've got like the earnings have started, the vaccines are rolling out, the Biden's in now. We hit all-time highs this morning and last night, and we've got Yellen's. You know, it's and now it's like, okay, where to from here now? Like, what's the next step? And quite frankly, we've spoken about it before. I mean, in the long term, I think it is a bit of a risk on. You know, the punch bowl's still there. The central banks this morning, and we'll hear from the Fed as well, they're not going away in a hurry. Yellen yesterday reiterating that she's going to go big, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But it feels like what's the catalyst to, I don't know, take it the next leg up? Considering the year that we had last year and considering the start that we've had. I mean, even look at the South African, the JSC. I mean, I can't – the general mood amongst traders and corporates and people I speak to on the desk is, you know, things are not great on the ground floor, yet the all shares up 8% year to date still. So it's going to need something, Lindsay, to – some sort of a catalyst to move it either way, or else I think we're going to just roll over and might grind down a little bit now.
What worries me is that it's all been front-loaded. Everyone says, thank goodness 2020 is out the way, and there's been a couple of good numbers, and we've got a new administration in the United States, and the international community is welcoming that, even though they can't say it. Even Boris Johnson, he sort of hints at the fact that he likes the fact that Biden is in there. But anyway – we've done well. It's just, we're 3 weeks into 2021 and the indices have been going consistently to new highs. But maybe, as I said, it's all come a little bit too soon and too quickly.
Yes. So we always speak about markets being sort of forward-looking, and we discount and how much is in the price is a phrase that I'm sure a lot of people have heard quite often. But I mean, our clever guys this morning in our meeting who were talking about, I'm trying to find my notes, they were talking about Richemont. We own it, but we're a little bit underweighted. And you saw the results out yesterday, I think they were, Lindsay.
Yes.
They were not bad. I mean, the stock was quite strong, it was up 3%, was the biggest mover. And our clever boys were going through the numbers. And I'm a trader, so I profess not to follow these numbers too closely, but the fundamentals behind them are quite interesting. So they were saying that at the moment, it normally trades on about an 18 PE, and the luxury goods trade on 18 times earnings, or 19 times at a push. So Richemont at the moment, we're currently sitting at almost back at an all-time high. times forward PE 2 years out.
Yeah.
So it's normally trades at 18 to 19, now trading at 28 times earnings. And even with the revenue out of China and mainland China and all the rest of it, like just the pure good old-fashioned valuations, which we haven't been looking at amongst COVID. We've just been looking at vaccines. But if you actually look at the valuations of something like as simple as a Richemont, it's trading at double what it normally trades at. And he used the expression, which I quite like, I'm going to steal it from him, which was it's a little bit too spicy, the valuation.
Yes, yes.
And I think it is. I mean, so there we go. At some point, let's look at the numbers. Let's see where we are at the market now. And as you said, we're looking at things like valuations and where the market's on. And maybe you're right. Maybe it just is too – we've run a little bit too hard. Now the real test is, can these valuations justify the current share prices? That, I think, is the question investors and that need to ask forward. Thankfully, we're not going to be speaking about Trump. We have to look at old valuations and stuff like that.
I miss him. I already miss him. I missed him last week when he was banned from Twitter. Because I love something to hate. I mean, I don't like to start my day on a negative. I mean, I've got enough negatives with being an Ipswich Town supporter.
Well, I tell you, is going to miss him. And I've seen a lot of like real comments, and that is all the late night sort of show hosts in America and stuff. You know, the Daily Show and those guys, because they said he was just this wonderful source of sort of
ridicule,
of jokes,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He was such a brilliant target, and he was so thick-skinned. It was almost as you knew he would actually thrive on it. And the QAnon people. Anyway, let's not talk about him anymore. Mm. Let's talk about the spot prices because the Rand has had another brilliant day. A dollar Rand. 14.79 British pound against the Rand, 20.30 Euro Rand has gone from 18 to 17 again. It's 17.99. The Euro dollar is 121.65, which is a slightly weaker US dollar by 0.2%. British pound, look at the pound, that's soaring against the dollar, 137.30. The gold price, gosh, 18.66, which in 24 hours has risen $30 plus. The platinum price in the last 24 hours has risen $59 to $1,150 an ounce. And palladium, I don't know where that is, Nick. You're going to tell me.
Yeah, not as running as hard as platinum is, but it's certainly on the upside. Up $15, make that 0.7%, so 2,388 per ounce.
I spoke to a chap from a very well-known asset management company a month ago, and he said, I cannot understand why platinum shares are sitting where they are. They deserve to be much, much higher. We'll come to that in a moment. But meanwhile, I'll give you the Brent crude oil price while you have a look at Bitcoin. Brent crude oil is down 0.5% to $55.78 per barrel. West Texas crude is $53.04, which is down 0.5%. And, okay, give me Bitcoin, please.
Before I give you Bitcoin, I had a conversation with a trader buddy of mine who is one of the few people I know that generally made millions out of Bitcoin. Generally, you must get him on the show. Actually, he's done very well, and he was telling me about how Bitcoin is at the moment. This is your yardstick to risk on, risk off. And yeah. I'm sure we've spoken about it. He's like this. This is if you want to know where the
is it a leader or a laggard Bitcoin. Though? I want to know from him. Does it lead or does it lag the market?
I think it might be a bit of a leader. Anyway, on that note,
yeah,
Bitcoin down currently. It is down $3,200.
No.
It's down 9% at 31,000 at the moment.
So it's gone from last Sunday at 43,000.
43.
To 31. Now this is roll the dice stuff, isn't it? I mean, come on now.
Yeah. You know, I'm not even going to profess to know what happens for Bitcoin in the next hour, the next month. I have no idea, and I also don't want to be sort of bashed by Twitter trolls. I really have no idea, but it's very difficult to support an argument that this can be a reserve currency or some sort of form when it moves 9% an hour. It just can't.
No.
They need to somehow get the volatility out of this and get boring. You know, if Bitcoin was boring and moved 0.5% a day, yeah, I could maybe understand it. But for something that moves this much every hour, there's no way you could run a business off the back of it or hedge your currencies or do anything like that.
It's a punting vehicle, Nick. We know it's a punting vehicle.
I'm trying to take a sort of media, like a middle road here and say, look, if you do believe the blockchains and all this, fine. But for me, just looking at a price movement of 9% in an hour, you cannot use this as a viable answer to an alternative. currency at the moment.
I'm too old to go for the two B's, blockchain and Bitcoin. I really just, I honestly don't understand it. I've been it's been explained to me. I've conducted interviews on both of those subjects, but I still don't understand it. But me not understanding is not part of this conversation we're having now, because this is the 5 o'clock shadow. The US 10-year bond yield is, let's call it 1.11. It's been an okay day, but nothing spectacular. And as you say, it's looking a little bit frigid or turgid or something at the top here, but there's absolutely no indication that there's any fall coming now, 10-15% or whatever we need to flush out the Robin Hooders. But it's an interesting day, and very interesting on the JSE Securities Exchange today, the top five movers on my screen. I've got Exxaro up 6.4%. Anglo-American Platinum, we were talking about the platinum shares, or I mentioned it, that somebody says they're undervalued, and he's probably right now, because Anglo-American Platinum, Angloplat, up 5.5%. Goldfields, a 5.1% winner. Impala Platinum, it's got a new CEO, by the way, Goldfields. Impala Platinum up 4%. And Truworths, again, after a volatile week, up nearly 3%. Downside, Hammerson down 3.25%. RMH down 3.25%, Capitec a 3.1% loser, Momentum Metropolitan down 2.9%, and Sasol down 2.8%. Angloplats, Impala Platinum, Goldfields and Exxaro on the upside. This could be, we've been talking about themes, the weaker US dollar, the higher 10-year yield. Is the commodity run going to continue in 2021? This could be the third pillar of your investments at Sanlam Private Wealth this year. Could be.
Yeah, I mean, this is the very debate we had yesterday on our first sort of IC meeting, which is on a Wednesday, the first one of the year.
Yeah.
Like, what are the themes? And of course, this two things came up. One was obviously commodities. It's been, if you look at some of these commodity prices, and I've been speaking about it to you actively with the soft commodity space. I mean, even go as far as to tell you what I looked at yesterday, orange juice up 20%, orange juice futures. You know, there's a lot of that sort of space. And the next theme, of course, is what's happening with inflation and the yield curve. And I seem to be trying to, like, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to convince myself more that is where you need to be looking, and commodities and things is where you want to play. I mean, I looked at the graph. You talk about Impala Platinum.
Yeah.
Huge run. Northern's is one of our picks as well, also had a huge run. I mean, I hear the sort of both sides of the equation from the bulls and the bears. But then I look, you know, everyone says run too hard. But you know that Impala Platinum?
Yeah,
you know, 12 years ago, the high was 368 rand a share.
Yeah,
it's 220 now. You know, it's not. I mean, on the scheme of things, you know, has it got further to run? If you believe, if you're sort of platinum bull, you'd have to say, yeah, definitely. I mean, Anglo American took out the old high, which 550 rand a share. So Anglo's have taken its old high out. It's come back a little bit since 546. So why couldn't something on Impala Platinum? It's 40% below its old high. You know, there's that other argument to it.
Just talking about that. I'm looking at cheese and milk and poultry. Poultry prices up 2.5% this year. Lithium, monthly, up 24%. Year to date, up 23%. Bitumen, up 10%. These are things. I mean, obviously, the lithium is a battery story, and they're going to run out of it. They're going to run out of it soon. Cobalt up 16.5% year to date. And when I say year to date, I mean in 3 weeks. There's so much going on. Nickel up 10%.
I looked at other stuff. So if you believe the electric vehicle story, which we've spoken about, then there's other places that, you know, there's a lot of sort of rare earths and stuff which benefit. So you mentioned now lithium. There's another rare earth metal which is called vanadium. Vanadium, it's called. South Africa's got one of the few places that mines in the world. It doesn't exist anywhere else. There's a company listed in London called Bushveld Mining, and they have a big exposure to vanadium. And then if you believe in another form of battery cells, which is supposedly is going to rival what's happening with lithium, it's hydrogen cell batteries for hydrogen. So, like, there's so many, like, moving parts, and all involves commodities as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, I've seen everyone talk about this commodity super cycle, and I'm not intelligent enough to figure out if we are starting one or not. But you certainly, you see when Impala Platinum used to be 360 and it's now 220, and you believe that we're in for a commodity cycle, I mean, we've definitely got further to run in some of these prices.
Have you heard of anything called neodymium, which is part of the platinum group metal basket?
Mm-mm.
Up 10% this year. Rhodium up 28.9%.
Yeah, Lindsay, that was a monster. That was $6,000 last January. It's now $21,000.
$21,900 actually is the price.
Goodness.
Yeah, it's massive. The iron ore price is $170. Fifteen cents.
Just take a look at the one we all know. I mean, look at where oil is. Oil's north of $50 a barrel. So there's been some extreme moves. And as you say, you speak about rhodium and these other ones and not many people look at. So beneath the surface, I don't know how people can say that there's not some sort of inflation around the corner, these prices.
The CRB index, which is the basket of everything from cheese to rhodium, is monthly up 6.25% and year to date up 4.4%. But in a month to go up 6.2%, if you're shopping basket, if you're a person that watches prices and suddenly instead of paying 100 rand for your basket of goods from whatever shop you choose, you're suddenly paying 106.25 rand. Per shopping basket, that has an influence on you. It's quite.
Look, I've got this like love-hate thing at the moment with commodities, because from a South African perspective, we are sitting on a lot of the stuff under our ground. I mean, the majority of that country has been blessed with, and I'm seeing these prices run. And I think, you know, we're having a bit of a tough time in SA with tax receipts. We've got the budget next month, and I think, you know, personal income tax is going to be way down because we've had such an unfortunate number of job losses. But the receipts they're going to receive from the miners and the corporates and the precious metal guys is probably going to make up for it.
Yeah.
But I think inflation's coming. So it's going to knock us in the basket, but as a country, it's probably not a bad thing, you know. So I'm kind of divided there. Maybe I should buy myself a basket of mining shares and just, you know, hedge my personal income.
I wish I had a personal income to hedge. But anyway, give us the JSE closing prices on this Thursday.
On this Thursday, I mean, we were higher this morning, but we have still closed at a new all-time high. Ding, ding, ding.
Well,
JSE all shares,
64,174. Tremendous.
Up just 10 pips, 66 points. Top 40 up a little bit more, 111 points higher. And driven higher by basic materials, 0.75% higher. Energy was also up 0.25%. That was despite Sasol being down almost 3% on the day.
Yeah.
The laggers, we had technology briefly down. Healthcare was down 0.16. The banks were heavy today. Maybe after that, Mr. Kaniagi and the Saab meeting, financials were down by 0.8%. Industrials down 1.85%. And finally, real estate, they were weak again today. 0.14% down, and value traded. It's been a good week if you're a JSE shareholder, anyway, if you're looking at those volumes.
Yeah.
21.7 billion value traded.
Very good indeed. And with a strong rand, that translates into a good dollar rise as well. Nick, just give us the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ latest, because I think I'm seeing the S&P at all-time record highs again.
You are. It is a little bit off the high. S&P futures traded high as 3,856.
Yeah.
We are 3,851. So we're just 5 points off the all-time high. But you are correct. It was all three, the trifecta today. S&P futures are, as I said, 3,851, new all-time high. We have the Dow Jones futures all-time high, 31,141, and of course the NASDAQ as well, of course, as you'd expect it, all-time high as well, 13,364, up 0.5%, another all-time high, all three, the trifecta offshore.
Well done, and what a world. Nick Kunzer, thank you very much for your analysis. Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.